Hello, hello.
This is Lori and Tori coming to you from the haunted corners of New England, and you're listening to the Something Wicked podcast, the show that delves deep into the topics of true crime, haunted histories, and all things paranormal, dedicated to those that love to know all the spoopy and gruesome details on psycho serial killers, ghastly ghouls, and creepy cryptids with tales to make you sleep with the lights on. Today's episode is another story time!
Story time!
And this is going to be a special one because both stories are written by me. I have been wanting to do this for a long time, and it took a lot of poking and prodding from my nearest and dearest to encourage me to write them. So I thank them for that, and I truly hope you guys enjoy them.
So grab those juice boxes, get some snackies, and snuggle up all comfy-like on that city life playmat, and let's get it.
Hello and welcome back to the show, and for those of you new to the podcast, I'll say thanks for tuning in. As we said in the intro, your girl is going to be reading some spooky tales that were thrown together in her own little twisted lump of think meat. I will be leaving questions in the show notes to let me know what you think of the stories and what other subjects you guys would love to hear for some more terrifying tales. And here we go.
Whee!
The first story is called The Muse of Madness. My mind is consumed with the macabre, the terrifying, the unknown. For as long as I can remember, I have been fascinated with horror, the kind that sends shivers down your spine and makes you check the closet before turning off the lights. Some may call it twisted, but to me, it's pure art. I have always been fascinated by horror stories. Growing up, I would spend hours with my nose buried in books about ghosts, demons, and everything in between. It was my escape from reality, my way of coping with the mundane and uneventful life I was living. Being a socially awkward introvert, I didn't have many friends growing up, but that never bothered me, because in the world of my imagination, I was free to create anything I wanted. As I got older, my love for horror only grew. I began writing my own stories, pouring my darkest fears and twisted imagination onto paper. It was therapeutic, almost cathartic, to give life to the monsters that lived within my mind. But I soon found my fantasies and nightmares would creep into my everyday life. At first, I brushed off the feeling and shook my head, trying to focus on my work. After all, isn't that what writers do? We take fragments of imagination and weave them into captivating tales for others to indulge in. But as I started to type away, my mind drifted to a dark forest, a place that I often envisioned in my stories. I could smell the musty scent of decaying leaves, feel the dampness in the air, and hear the faint rustling of unseen creatures in the bushes. It was as if I was actually there, in the midst of my own creation. And then I heard a blood-curdling scream that sent shivers down my spine. It was a sound that I heard in my nightmares, a sound I had written about countless times. But this time it didn't stop. It got louder and more intense, as if it was coming closer and closer. I tried to shake myself out of the trance, but I couldn't seem to break free. My fingers continued to type, almost as if someone else was controlling them. The scream grew louder, and I could feel my heart racing with fear. Just when I thought I couldn't take it anymore, the scream suddenly stopped. I sat there, panting and sweating. My hands trembled uncontrollably. I realized that my hands were no longer typing. In fact, my whole body was frozen in fear. I slowly lifted my head and looked around, but everything seemed to be normal. The room was quiet and empty, just as it was before. And of course, the whole vivid hallucination that I just went through completely threw me off. I tried to continue for about another 20 minutes before I slammed my laptop shut in frustration over writer's block. I got up, made a cup of tea, and sat down on my bed. I needed to take my mind off things, so I decided to give my friend Emily a call. She, of course, chalked it up to pushing myself too hard that I needed to just let it go. I agreed, but I couldn't help feeling that itch. That idea that was hanging on the edge of my brain that I couldn't scratch out to finish my story. Emily reminded me of a book she had lent me to turn me on to lucid dreaming. She knew how fascinated I was in the paranormal and thought it would be a perfect addition to my collection. She told me that I should check it out, that it'd help. I usually drew my inspiration for my dreams to begin with, so I thought, what's the harm in trying? I devoured the book, reading every word with fervor. As I delved deeper into the world of lucid dreaming, I began to experiment with it. At first, it was all harmless fun. I would control my dreams, flying through the night sky or traveling to exotic places, but as time went on, I became more daring, playing with the boundaries of reality. I started to bring my horror stories to life, living through them as if I were the protagonist. And the more I did it, the harder it became to separate my dreams from reality. But it helped me pump out story after story, so I was hooked. Then I noticed small things, like seeing shadows in the corner of my room or hearing faint whispers at night. Soon after that, I started seeing my characters in real life. They were just fleeting glimpses at first, but they appeared more and more frequently. I would see the monstrous creatures from my stories lurking in the shadows, and I couldn't shake the feeling that they were watching me. I tried to shrug it off and convinced myself that it was all in my head. After all, I was a horror writer. My mind was bound to play tricks on me. But as the days went by, my grip on reality loosened even further. I started to see my stories unfold before my eyes, as if I were living them, and I was helpless to stop it. I would wake up in the middle of the night, covered in sweat, unable to shake the feeling that someone or something was in the room with me. I would run to my laptop and frantically write down my dreams, hoping that by putting them on paper, I could banish them from my mind. But it didn't help. The more I wrote, the stronger the visions became. I would see my characters stalking me during the day, their menacing eyes following my every move. The only time I felt safe was behind my computer screen, writing their stories and imprisoning them in my imagination. My nights became filled with terror as I was hunted by the very monsters I created. I saw my characters' victims in my dreams as well, their screams echoing in my mind. It was as if they were trying to tell me something, but I was too consumed by fear to listen. As the days went on, I became more reclusive, refusing to leave the safety of my home. But even there, I wasn't alone. The walls themselves whispered to me, constantly reminding me of what I had unleashed. I felt like a prisoner in my own mind. One night, as I sat at my desk, trying to finish my latest story, I heard a knock at my door. I hesitated, my heart racing as I wondered who could be visiting me at this hour. Slowly, I made my way to the door, fear gripping every step. I peered through the peephole and my blood ran cold. Standing on my doorstep was the main character from my last story. He was tall and imposing, his face twisted into a malevolent grin. I tried to convince myself that it wasn't real, but when I opened the door, he was still there, grin only growing wider.
"Hello, my dear,"
he said in a guttural voice.
"Did you really think you could just get rid of me after writing my lies?"
But before I could even react, he disappeared into thin air. I screamed and slammed the door shut. I sat back on my bed, staring at my desk, the glow of my laptop beckoning me to sit back down. To finish the next abomination that I know would only taunt me into madness. The logical side of my brain started to dread writing, afraid of what or who would appear next. But at the same time, I couldn't stop. I needed to finish my stories. It was the only way to quiet the voices in my head. Ever since my creations started to bleed more and more into reality, the less I had been able to lucid dream, if I would even dream at all. I had at this point been struggling to come up with an idea for weeks, when finally, it struck me. A story about a young girl who was haunted by her own creation. A demon her mind had conjured up. My fight or flight response had died out and, gods help me, I was excited to write it. And as I sat down at my desk, I could already feel the words spilling out of me. As I wrote, I let my imagination run wild. I describe the demon in vivid detail. Its long fingernails, its red eyes that seem to pierce through the soul, its twisted smile that chilled you right to the bone. I could feel the fear building up in me, and yet I couldn't stop writing. I loved it. I loved the fear. I loved the adrenaline from every word that came from my fingertips. But as I finished the story, something strange happened. I noticed a faint red glow coming from the corner of my room. I shook my head and tried to reassure myself. It's not real. It's in your mind. It's always been in your mind and nowhere else. But to my horror, the glow grew brighter, and soon I could see the outline of a figure standing in the corner. My heart pounded as I sat frozen in my chair, watching as the figure slowly made its way towards me. It was the demon that I had just written about. I tried to scream, but no sound came out of my mouth. I was trapped in my own nightmare. The demon towered over me, its putrid breath hot on my skin. I closed my eyes and prayed. And then I opened my eyes to find it still there, its red eyes staring right into mine. It spoke.
"You called for me, and here I am,"
it said, its voice dripping with malice. I tried to run, but my legs wouldn't budge. The demon chuckled and grabbed me, its sharp claws sinking into my flesh. And just as I thought it was all over, I woke up. It was all just a dream. But as I looked around my room, I couldn't shake off the feeling that something wasn't right. The red glow was still there, and in the corner I could see the faint outline of the demon. I quickly got out of bed and turned on the lights, hoping it would make it disappear. But it didn't. It was still there, its eyes fixed on me. I rubbed my eyes, pinched myself. I didn't wake up, or I didn't fall out of sleep. It didn't matter anymore. I could see it, opened eyes or shut. I wanted to scream, to run away, but I couldn't move. It was like I was trapped in some kind of trance, unable to escape the terrifying reality in front of me. And that's when I realized this was the bottom. I had become an addict to immersing myself in these dark tales. I had created an actual demon in my mind, and it was haunting me. No more calming, deep breathing, meditation, whatever bullshit techniques I used to pull myself out before this. The demon's presence was too strong, too real. It whispered my name, its voice echoed in my head. I could feel my senses spiraling, bringing me to the brink of a psychotic break. I had to find a way to get rid of it. I somehow willed myself to move and ran over to my bookshelf. I frantically searched through it, looking for anything that could help me. And that's when I found it. An old book on demonology. I bought it years ago, thinking it would make a great reference for my stories, go figure. I quickly flipped through the pages, searching for anything that could help me banish it. And I did. A ritual to banish demons from one's mind. I followed the instructions carefully, hoping that it would work. I ignored the demon's laughter as I started to speak the words. The problem was, I was too scared to realize that no actual sound was coming out. It charged me. I tried to dodge it, but it was too fast. No sooner did I blink, it had me by the throat, off the ground, and dangling like the puppet I had become. It slowly brought me close to its face. I could feel the same heat as before, smell the scent of rotting flesh. I clawed at its fingers, kicked and flailed, its eyes shining with excitement, watching me helplessly struggle. And bit by bit, it tightened its grip on my throat. I started to black out. And just as I thought it was all over, I woke up. It was all just a dream. But as I looked around my room, I couldn't shake off the feeling that something wasn't right. The red glow was still there. And in the corner, I could see the faint outline of the demon.
I want to keep the podcast focused on content that entertains, informs, and is mindful of your time. One way to accomplish this is direct listener support. Your support would help the show grow so much, so I've set up a link where you can quickly and easily support the show. The whole thing will take 30 seconds. It's glow.fm/somethingwicked.
That's glow.fm/SOMETHINGWICKED. We're asking for $3 a month, but you can contribute as much or as little as you'd like. If something wicked is part of your day or week and you love what we're doing, please visit glow.fm/somethingwicked and support us any way you can today. It's dead simple, and again, we'll take no more than 30 seconds. Click the link in the show notes, pay with Apple or Google Pay, and click the link of the podcast player that you want to use. You can listen anywhere at any time. Happy listening! The final story is called In the Shadow of the Wood. The sun was setting as Lindsay trudged through the woods, familiar landmarks blurring as the twilight turned them into indistinguishable shadows. She had been out in the wilds of the woods for a few hours now, gathering kindling for the fire, when she heard something moving in the trees. At first, she thought it was just a wild animal. But then a delicate, beautiful melody floated to her ears. She could feel a chill creeping up her spine as she listened to the ethereal song. It was unlike anything she had ever heard before, haunting and yet strangely alluring. Without realizing it, she found herself following the sound deeper into the woods. As she ventured further into the darkness, the trees seemed to grow closer and the shadows lengthened, making it difficult for her to see. She quickened her pace, heart racing with a mixture of fear and curiosity. The song grew louder and more enchanting with each step. But then, suddenly, the song stopped, and everything fell silent. Lindsay stopped in her tracks, her eyes darting around, trying to make sense of her surroundings. She couldn't see anything other than the tall trees looming over her, their branches reaching out like gnarled fingers. Just as she was about to turn back and head home, something caught her eye. A figure shrouded in shadows swayed in the distance. Her heart pounded in her chest as she took a step closer, mesmerized by the figure's eerie movements. It was like a dance, but there was something off about it, something unnatural. As she approached, the figure slowly turned towards her. Lindsay could now see that it was a woman, her face obscured by a veil. The woman beckoned to her, her bony fingers motioning for Lindsay to come closer. Despite every instinct telling her to run away, she couldn't resist the pull of the mysterious woman. Before she knew it, she was standing face to face with her, the woman's piercing eyes staring into hers. Who are you? Lindsay managed to choke out, her voice trembling. The woman didn't answer. Instead, she reached out and lifted the veil from her face. Lindsay gasped in horror at the sight before her. The woman's face was grotesque, her skin pale and rotting, her eyes sunken into her skull.
You shouldn't have come here,
the woman cackled, her voice chilling to the bone. Lindsay stumbled back, her heart pounding in her ears. She turned to run, but the woman's cold grip stopped her in her tracks. She could feel her strength draining as the woman whispered a spell in an unfamiliar language. She was helpless as the woman dragged her deeper into the woods, her mind swirling with fear and confusion. The moon had risen high in the sky by the time they reached a clearing, where a group of other rotting figures were gathered. Lindsay's blood ran cold as the realization hit her. She had stumbled upon a coven of witches, and they had no intention of letting her leave alive. She screamed as they began their unholy ritual, chanting and drawing symbols in the dirt around her. And as the night wore on, Lindsay's screams grew weaker, her body succumbing to the witch's dark magic. The next morning, as the sun rose over the woods, all that remained in the clearing was Lindsay's lifeless body, surrounded by the remains of the witch's macabre ritual. To this day, no one dares to venture too far into those woods, for the whispers of the witch's song still linger in the air, warning all who hear it to stay far away.
What a load of bullshit, John said. Is not. I heard it from Tanya. She said it was her friend's sister that happened to, said Ashley. What friend? She doesn't go to our school. I don't remember.
Ashley got up and grabbed another beer from the cooler.
Exactly. Like I said, bullshit. Besides, we all know Tanya lies. Her whole family is paranoid with all that religious stuff. think you've had enough, John, said Tommy. You shouldn't make fun. There really was a girl that died in these woods, said Ashley. Yeah, and about a dozen others over the past 100 years, John scoffed as he snatched the beer from Ashley. Hey, that was mine. Well, go get another one. That was the last one. We killed off the rest. Sucks to be you, then, John laughed as he cracked open the can. The three sat around the fire in silence, watching the embers die down slowly as the night went on. They had gone out to the woods to camp and tell ghost stories after the news spread in town that another girl had been found dead, the third one in the last year. Her name wasn't Lindsay like it was in the story. It had gone so far down the grapevine, in fact, that it had changed several times. They had grown up hearing countless urban legends about all the mysterious places in the mountains. First it was aliens, then the dogman, now apparently witches. John thought it was just some psycho that had a penchant for pretty girls and used the woods to kill them. It was a good spot. When you live in a town where part of the Appalachian Forest runs through it, it's kinda hard to pass up if you're a serial killer. John finished his drink and started wishing they were all back in the dorms, throwing another rager instead of telling campfire stories like some 10-year-olds in bug-infested woods. Got any other good ones, Ash? Asked Tommy. Nah. How about you? Answered Ashley. Yeah, I got one. And not some lame-ass witch story, neither. Well, go on then, said Ashley. The fire crackled and the embers danced in the cool night air, casting shadows on the trees surrounding them. Tommy's eyes glistened mischievously as he leaned in closer to the flames. Years ago, in this very forest, there lived a family in this beat-up, run-down cabin who were completely tapped. Legend has it, they would sacrifice innocent travelers who wandered too deep in the woods. Like, real twisted shit. They would torture them, mount them on hooks, racks, and kill them slowly. All this in favor of who they worshipped as their god, but was really this ancient, malevolent being. It's said that the family still haunts these woods, seeking revenge on anyone who dares to enter. Ashley shuddered. I don't know if I want to hear about that devil stuff, Tommy. It freaks me out too much. It's not real, Ash, said John. You're freaking out over nothing. Tommy continued. You see, it was the Johnson family cabin. The locals didn't pay any attention to them, but they knew better than to poke around. At least, that's what the cops would tell everyone. The family were supposedly caught, tried, and burned in this huge bonfire out in their front yard after the locals had hunted them down and took revenge for murdering so many of their children. But one night, a group of kids decided to explore the woods and came across the cabin. As they approached, they heard strange noises coming from inside. Creepy music, moaning voices, and the sound of chains could all be heard. This, of course, only piqued their curiosity, so they decided to go in. Once inside, they found creepy paintings of the Johnsons and decaying animal skulls hanging on the walls. They also found an old journal that detailed how the family had made a deal with this entity to gain immortality, and in exchange, they had to lure innocent souls to their cabin to torture and kill. Suddenly, the door slammed shut, and they were locked inside. As they searched for a way out, they were greeted by Mr. Johnson's ghostly figure. He chased them through the woods, laughing maniacally and calling out their names. The kids made it back to their homes and barely slept that night. They kept hearing whispers of their names that seemed to be coming from right outside their windows, hearing scratching and laughing. That's what they remembered, at least. What do you mean? John asked. The next morning, their parents went to wake them and couldn't find them. Their beds were all made as if they hadn't been slept in. They freaked out and put out a missing persons report, but years would pass before any word about them came around. That was worse than the lame-ass witch story, John spat. I'm not finished. The legend of Mr. Johnson and his family never died out. So, years later, another couple of kids went to check out the decrepit cabin in the woods. Let me guess, John interjected. The kids' bodies from years ago were all dried up and mummified in some secret basement that no one ever found before. Ooh, spooky. You're such an asshole, Ashley punched John's arm. Is that what happened? Tommy slumped his head down. Yeah. You know what? I'm getting tired. I'm just gonna go to bed. It's getting late. John laughed. Aw, come on. Any idiot could have figured out the end. Come back and sit with us. It's 3 a.m. We should all get some sleep, Tommy said as he got into his tent. Ashley shot John an annoyed look.
You could have let him finish. We were supposed to be having fun. A branch snapped behind the two, and Ashley spun around, nearly falling out of her chair. What was that? John leaned in next to Ashley while she was turned away and whispered, Mr. Johnson! She screamed and fell to the ground. He roared with laughter and held out his hand to help her up. Fuck you! Tommy's right. I'm going to bed. She slapped his hand away and left him alone. John scoffed at her and turned back to the fire, staring at the flames until they nearly died out. A few minutes went by, and he decided to head to bed as well. He got up and started walking towards his tent. Ashley. A soft whisper sounded right next to Ashley's ear, just as she was about to pass out. Ashley. It hissed a little louder. She shot up and unzipped the door to her tent. I swear to Christ, John, if you don't let me sleep. He looked at her confused. I'm sorry, was I existing too loudly? You know damn well what you were doing. I wasn't doing anything. I was going to bed because you guys left me. Whatever, just knock it off, okay? She rolled her eyes and zipped the door shut. John, look here. A twig snapped. John spun around and looked into the pitch black tree line. The whisper was abrasively short. It came again, longer this time. John. This time the voice was right behind him. He spun again. Nothing. A flickering of red caught his eye on the opposite side of the campfire. He went over to investigate and found a trail of blood leading from the fire, off into the woods. Hey guys? John stumbled over to the tents, frantically banging on them. Guys, wake up! Ashley got out and met his face just as she stood up. What's going on? Her heart pounded, thinking John was being stupid and either hurt himself or that a wild animal snuck into their sight. John pointed to the fire. I heard voices. And the blood. There's freaking blood over there. What are you talking about? Ashley pushed past him and walked all around the fire. The spot he pointed to was black and wet. There's no blood, John. The ground's just wet. John watched as Ashley tracked through the blood, soaking her socks and leaving footprints walking back to him. You're fucking kidding me, right? Your socks are soaked. Yeah, from the gross ground. She turned to go back into her tent. John grabbed her arm, his face twisted in horror. Ow! You're hurting me! She tried to pull away. John gripped tighter. Look at your socks. They've got blood all over them. It's everywhere now. How can you not see it? Ashley wrenched her arm free. You high or something? It's mud. It rained before we got here, the leaves made mud, and it got on my socks because you woke me up in a panic. Cool your shit and go to bed. She plopped back down onto her sleeping bag and pulled her socks off. John watched as the blood got all over her hands, as she wiped it on her shirt like it wasn't even there. She curled up under the covers and closed her eyes, and he walked hesitantly over to Tommy's tent and unzipped it. Tommy? He called out, shaking. Tommy? He shook the end of his sleeping bag, but he didn't feel Tommy's feet. Tommy! He screamed and yanked the outer blankets off. What the hell, man? Tommy uncurled from a fetal position and sat up, rubbing his eyes. What is it? John stepped back, heart racing. He saw the annoyance on his friend's face. I thought you were gone. Can you please come and look at something? Ash doesn't believe me. I need to know I'm not crazy. There's blood, and I heard someone saying my name, and... Tommy grabbed the blankets from John. You're drunk, man. You're starting to see stuff. Just sleep it off. Tommy laid back down. John lingered for a moment. He looked down at his friend and thought about kicking him back awake. Why wouldn't they listen to him? He wasn't drunk. He knew this was real. If anything, the voices knocked him back into sobriety. Fear is a bitch like that. Fine. If they were going to pretend like nothing was wrong, he would be the one to keep watch. To keep whatever the hell was toying with him away from him and his friends. He sat back down in his chair and grabbed one of the thicker branches they had gathered to burn in the pit. He didn't sleep. He didn't move. He sat still as more noises sounded in the woods. More branches snapping. Whispers from all directions. Voices humming a soft tune that was so sweet it threatened to lull him to sleep. He wanted to leave. He was afraid. The car was right there. He could just grab his keys and jet out of there. They were treating him like they didn't care about him anyway, but he knew he couldn't leave without them. They didn't believe him.
all he would get would be a ration of shit for ruining their weekend over a stupid, scary story. So he sat, watching the dead fire and looking at the trail of blood that was now lit only by the moon. Tommy woke up a little after 1 in the afternoon the next day and started to walk over to the woodpile. John? He approached his passed out friend, slumped over in his chair. John didn't move. Tommy shook him and called out again. John! Rise and shine! John snapped awake, yelling and swinging the branch frantically until he fell out of his chair. Whoa, calm down, man. You good? Tommy helped him off the ground. John's eyes darted around him. What time is it? Are you okay? Where's Ash? He started to walk over to Ashley's tent and Tommy gripped his shoulder. Hey, we're okay. You're okay. Ashley's still sleeping and it's about... He looked at his watch. It's like 1. We stayed up pretty late. You got trashed and started talking about blood and voices. John looked past Tommy to the spot he'd been intently staring at before he fell asleep. Tommy met his gaze. What's up, man? Please tell me you see. His words came out in a desperate whisper. Please. I'm not crazy. Tommy saw a small blinking light shone off in the distance. Aw, shit, that's a trail cam. Please tell me you didn't have us camp on someone's property. Fuck the trail cam. The blood right fucking here. John bolted so fast he nearly knocked his friend to the ground. He stopped and framed the trail with his hands. Right here, he repeated. Dude, calm down. Let me have a closer look, right? Tommy walked over to him and squinted his eyes. There was a dark brown, almost black streak and splotches on the ground. He leaned down and dipped his fingers in it. John again watched as another friend smeared the blood all over his pant leg and chuckled. It's mud, man. This is what you saw when you woke me up last night. Ashley walked up behind them. See? Like I said. John looked up at her, dark finger smudges still all over her pajama shirt. You both lost it. That or you're just trying to pay me back for apparently being a dick last night? Fuck both of you. I'm following it. John traipsed off toward the tree line where the trail led. Damn it, John. You're gonna get lost. At least let us come with you. Ashley threw her hands up and Tommy went back to his tent to grab his shoes, some water, and his hunting knife from his pack. Ashley followed and went off after the 2. The sun dipped deeper in the sky as the 3 ventured deeper into the unfamiliar woods. There were no landmarks, no foot trails, only John's crazed sense of direction that allowed them to avoid a few traps and pricker bushes. I think we should get back to a path, Tommy panted, trying to keep up with his friend, Ashley jogging close behind. There's traps out here. I really do think we're either on someone's property or a hunter is out here, and I don't want to be on the bad end of either. John ignored him and kept going. Stop, please, Ashley said. We need to rest for a few minutes. We've been at this for like 2 hours already. I have to find where this is going. It's not gonna disappear. We can stop here and drink some water. Take a breather, maybe? Fine. Tommy found a tree stump to sit on. Ashley collapsed on the ground next to him. You should drink too, she said. We're all already dehydrated. Running isn't helping. We'll pass out if we don't. She held out a bottle of water to John. He took it and drank some, never taking his eyes off the trail. Okay, real talk. Maybe it is blood. Just old, so it turned brown or black or whatever. Maybe we just don't see it like you do. Did you ever think that with the trail cam, the traps, that it might be from some animal? The hunter dragged it back to their house or something? Asked Tommy. No, I don't think so. And speaking of, you suddenly believe me? I think that you were drunk and you took my story a little too seriously. In fact, you were making fun of both of our stories, so what made you schizo all of a sudden, said Tommy. The trail wasn't there before we made camp. No one came in while we were there. It wasn't there until I started hearing the what? The whispering? Ashley interrupted. Like in the story? Tommy held his hands up. Look, man, We came with you, right? Let's just keep going, and whatever happens, happens. We're with you. Right, Ash? He looked at Ashley, eyes widened and nodding. Yeah, she chuckled nervously, forcing a smile. It'll be okay. We'll find whatever left this. John turned and continued following the trail. They walked through the woods further and further until they reached a tall hill. What are we gonna do if we are trespassing? You don't think they'd shoot us, right?
Ashley whispered to Tommy. It's a hunter, not some backwoods psycho. Let's just humor him, he whispered back. Ashley looked exhausted and worried. Tommy gave her a reassuring pat on the back. Look, if we run into anyone, we'll talk us out of it, okay? Ashley nodded and continued on. There, John called out as he reached the top of the hill and darted down from view. The other two reached the top a few seconds after. They stopped in their tracks, and a look of terror crossed Ashley's face. Oh my god, it's real, she whispered, covering her mouth. She was frozen in place, too scared to move. John, stop! Yelled Tommy. He followed him down the hill towards the dilapidated cabin. The air felt heavy around Ashley, almost thick as tar. Something wasn't right about this place. The front yard was strewn with bones, with what kind she couldn't tell, forming patterns around a giant fire pit. John ran up to the porch, Tommy close behind. Ashley muttered a silent prayer, begging whoever was listening to stop her friends from going in. Just a second too late. Tommy barreled into John, who froze in the doorway, causing them to crash onto the broken wood floor. Inside, the cabin looked like it hadn't been inhabited in decades. Cobwebs covered every corner. The floorboards creaked under their weight. The only sign that the house wasn't just bare bones was a crumbling fireplace in the center of the den. It was bigger than how it looked outside. Long, empty hallways on either side of the hearth, dark and cold. Ashley followed in a few minutes after the two rose. Are you trying to get us killed? Look at this place, man! Tommy grabbed John's collar and shook him. It's real! Maybe the people that lived here killed that girl. We should check it out. It is a story, Tommy screamed. I meant we're gonna get killed from the house itself. Look how broken down it is. No one has touched this place in God knows how long. We almost went through the floor. What happens if we got hurt? We don't even know where the fuck we are. No one's gonna find us out here. John started to well up. Tommy could tell he was more scared than anything. So he let go of his collar and let out a deep sigh. It's gonna get too dark out soon to try and go back. The least we can do is make a fire to keep warm and leave in the morning, I guess, he said. I am not staying here, Ashley said. I don't care if it's dark. I want to go back. Now. Tommy ignored her and went outside to grab some wood and small sticks for kindling. John sat next to the fireplace, a mix of fear and fascination on his face. Why did you have to bring us out here? Whispered Ashley. Her face twisted in anger, and a tear fell down her cheek. You didn't have to come. You didn't even believe me. Don't start. You know we wouldn't have left you to get lost on your own. And I could have left both of you last night when all that weird shit was happening. So I guess we're even. Tommy came back and started a fire. The three passed the last of the water between them, all of their stomachs grumbling when the realization hit them they hadn't eaten in over 18 hours. God, I'm starving. You think there's something here that we could eat? Asked John. Like what? Rotten raccoon ass? Said Tommy. You said it could have been a hunter out here. Maybe there's some jerky or dried goods? Said Ashley. A root cellar even? Guess it can't hurt to look, but if we find something and die from food poisoning, I'm coming back to haunt both of your asses, Tommy said. As they made their way through the rooms, they started to notice strange symbols etched into the walls and floors. They cautiously explored further and stumbled upon a door at the end of the hall. A soft glow emanated from underneath. What the hell is that? I thought this place was abandoned, said Ashley. My question is, how the hell did we not notice this? Said John. Tommy walked around the two and rolled his eyes. It's probably from a window. It's sunset, so it's shining in. He pushed the door open. Ashley gasped as she buried herself into the back of John's coat, reluctantly following the men in. In the center of the room, there was a large symbol drawn on the floor. Candles surrounded it, and the flickering light created an eerie atmosphere. Blood splattered the walls. Dead animals and viscera decorated the rafters like holly leaves, dripping fluid down to the floor. A twisted altar adorned the back wall. It was made from old black wood, and almost looked to the three like something you would mount a deer on for display. See? Said Tommy nervously. Hunters. That's all. Really weird ones, but still. What kind of hunter strings up animals like that? This is devil worship, I know it, said Ashley. We need to leave. She started to stumble backwards, eyes wide and pulling on John's sleeve. The air vibrated as a soft melody rang in their heads, followed by a giggle. Ashley backed into a wall, or something softer than a wall. Shaking violently, she turned around. Facing her was a rotting figure, a woman with a moth-eaten veil clinging to her pale, decrepit flesh. The woman smiled, revealing a row of jagged, old, blood-soaked teeth. Her breath permeated into Ashley's pores. She could feel the decay.
Devil worship.
It hissed, her mouth staying in that unnaturally wide grin. The voice continued inside their minds.
No, girl. Much older.
It reached scraping, thin, claw-like hands to touch her face. Ashley watched as the further the fingers spread apart, the skin and sinew split, trickling pitch-like blood onto the floor, sizzling and leaving holes. John tried to reach to intervene, but he couldn't move. All three were paralyzed. The woman grazed her fingers along Ashley's cheek, burning so deep her flesh blackened and peeled where she touched. Tears streamed and evaporated from the heat. The woman continued,
"And what brought these pretty little things to our domain?"
Curiosity. Though her face remained monotone, Ashley felt her eyes grow wide. She wanted to scream. Anguish ripped at her insides. And Tommy's voice continued, "Are they not worthy, mother?" The woman moved past Ashley and stood before John. She leaned down to his ear. John felt her mouth open as she dragged her black, rotting tongue up his neck, his jaw, skin rotting under each stroke. Her jagged teeth scraped along the outer edges of his ear, chipping away bits as her voice hissed in his mind.
"You saw only what I let you see."
She turned to face Tommy.
"My son, you do me proud, bringing two when I but asked for one."
John heard her giggle as she curled her body up, bones snapping as her back straightened. She folded her hands cordially and nodded towards John. Tommy broke out of his fabricated, paralyzed state and grabbed John's shoulders. The woman turned to Ashley to face the altar as Tommy stripped John and mounted him face first, arms out onto it.
"Watch closely, dear one,"
the woman said. Tommy pulled his hunting knife from his belt and began to peel away John's flesh from his back, bit by bit, throwing away the chunks on the floor. Ashley was unable to look away, watched in terror as Tommy reached his ribcage. He then used the knife to hack away at his bones. She heard and saw them splinter as they too were broken off one piece at a time. John was on the brink of passing out, from the pain, from the fear. His heart would have given out if he had control over his body. But he was made to feel every second, unable to die until she wanted it. By the time Tommy finished removing his ribs, Ashley had wet herself. She was screaming so loud inside, her larynx was raw. The woman clung to her, drinking in her fear like a fine wine. She shuddered as the waves of energy ripped through her. The woman reached up to Ashley's face. She could feel the liquid in her eyes boiling. Her vision was darkening. Her last sliver of vision containing the sight of Tommy pulling out John's lungs and mounting them on each shoulder like the folded wings of an eagle.
"You were right, dear one."
The woman's voice echoed in her mind as Tommy's blood-soaked hand grabbed Ashley's arm.
"He shouldn't have made fun."
Thanks so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Tune in next time for more ghastly ghouls and crazy killers. Don't forget to follow us on Anchor and Spotify, leave a rating and review, show us some loves on Glow, grab your merch at the official Something Wicked store, and hop on over to our Facebook group for upcoming episodes. Laters!